Good morning. Welcome to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldine, and this week my guest is chiropractic physician and registered nurse Sunny Kirsten, and we're going to talk about nomenclature, the names of things, and what they really mean and how possibly misleading they are. Names of diagnoses are either kind of a description of what they are, or somebody's name is attached. And so, good morning, Sunny.
Good morning, Ann.
Okay, so let's start with some things that people are pretty familiar with, like the name arthritis. And itis means inflammation, arth means joint, so inflammation of joints. But most of the time, that isn't really what's going on.
Well, it's many times people are given pharmaceutical remedies and without understanding that it's a structural problem, that correction of the structural integrity will change the outcome of the joint.
What I find is that when people look at an x-ray and they see changes in the joints, somehow that's like the death sentence of, oh, well, that's your problem. Go home, take anti-inflammatories, and, you know, live with it. And
we find that's... Right, they don't realize that if you correct the positioning of that joint, it changes the action on the cartilage pad, and it's the cartilage pad that endures the wear and tear.
Right, and we know from research that having degenerative changes in your joints, which is actually what you're having, is not any indication that you have pain.
No, not necessarily. It depends on food content. Sometimes foods cause a reaction that we recognize as pain. But sometimes just the misconfiguration of the joint causes pain, causes a pull on the ligaments that ignites pain receptors.
Mm-hmm. So it's a lot more complicated. And just dismissing something as, oh, you have arthritis, gives people a false impression of hopelessness.
I agree. There's a great deal that can be done for, quote, arthritic joints, unquote.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think a lot of what we see as chiropractors is, you know, abnormal joints that can be perfectly functional, even if they look bad on an x-ray.
Absolutely. And the sooner you get in to see the chiropractor, the less care you need and the more rapid resolution you're going to gain.
And yet, if people have been told that there's no hope, that there's nothing they can do about it, they wouldn't even think that was anything to do.
And that's the problem. People stay away from care until they're almost decrepit, and then they try to come in, and as chiropractors, we attempt to refurbish that joint, and we can only go so far.
Right. Well, yeah, now they're in their 70s, and they've been hobbling along for years.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, you know, sometimes things are pretty miraculous.
Well, oftentimes we can still get them out of pain, but we can't restore the function of that joint. So the sooner you get in to care for that joint, the more that joint will serve you, or the longer it will serve you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, people might not be aware that there have been many, many huge studies looking at x-rays or MRIs of joints at low back, neck, shoulder, knees, big studies, and they found that in people over 50, at least a third of people have degenerative changes, and the people in these studies were all people with no pain in their joints.
Right, they still have definable deterioration at the joint.
But no pain, and so I think that that isn't necessarily what your pain is about.
Yeah, for too long we've been told if you don't have pain, there's not a problem, and that's just simply not true.
Right.
Structural problems are often about function, not pain.
Right, right. I know you see the person limping, you say, you know, how are you? Oh, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Really? Really? What's the limp about?
Yeah.
Oh, that. I don't know.
And what they don't understand, if you have a limp at your knee, a pain at your knee, and you ignore it, pretty soon it's going to be a pain in your hip and a pain in your foot. And if you let that go, pretty soon it's going to be a pain in the opposite shoulder. And now all of a sudden the head is involved as well.
So
this cascade escalates.
Uh-huh. And things get worse. All right. Well, let's look at something completely different. How about acid reflux?
Now
that's a It sounds like the diagnosis is a problem where you have too much acid. But we know that most people have not enough acid
right.
in their stomach, and they have really crummy digestion, which, you know, we need acids to digest.
We need acid in order to digest protein.
Right.
And Americans eat an enormous amount of protein. What you don't understand is when the pelvis becomes awry, the body will change and shift and weaken the upper back to where a person starts to slump. Slumping causes a crowding of the organs in the abdomen, and that results in a thing called a hiatal hernia. And that can proceed to change the positioning of the stomach that causes the acid to appear as though it bumps up into the esophagus, when what it is, it's a distortion in the stomach that prevents the sphincter from closing. So this is a structural problem, and it can be corrected through structural means.
And what's so cool about that is, like, all these people that live on all this stuff to block the symptoms, to reduce the pain and the burning, could fix it in another way.
Right.
So which actually fixes it, because, of course, medication doesn't fix it. It just covers
right.
it up for a few minutes.
It quiets the problem, but quieting the problem allows the underlying structural dysfunction to quietly increase. So the next time that pain surfaces, it's worse.
Because
you've only quieted the symptom, you haven't solved the problem.
And what is the deal with this huge increase in stomach cancer? Stomach cancer used to be pretty much unheard of. Is it the next step in the cascade?
It may, in fact, be. We're not uncertain there, but what we know is that the sooner you stop the cascade of dysfunctions, the less disease you end up with.
Uh-huh. Well, that makes sense to me. All right, how about our old friend GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease. Now, if it has the name disease on it, that's really
right.
official.
But this is the cascade evolved further. In other words, the stomach has been pushed up enough that it now involves the esophagus. So the whole system is involved, not just the stomach or the stomach opening.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an example of quieting a symptom allows the disease process to continue to evolve.
Mm-hmm. You know, the sympathetic nerves to the stomach come from the upper mid-back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of people might not realize that if you have a problem with that part of your back or end up with a problem with that part of your back, it's very common to have problems with digestion and problems with the stomach.
That's absolutely true. People don't understand that the nerves that come from the spine, each one of them serves approximately a 1 to 2 inch slice of the body. And it doesn't just serve the stomach that's in that slice. It serves all of the muscles and the tendons and the ligaments and the veins and the arteries and whatever organs are in that 1 to 2 inch slice. So misalignment or compression in your mid-back affects organs in your stomach.
Yeah, and sometimes it's really dramatic. You know, adjust someone in that part and their stomach problems, their ulcers, their whatever, their reflux
just
go...
Fade away, don't they?
Just goes away, yeah.
Isn't it wonderful to watch? I love watching
yeah,
that.
It's pretty amazing, but if people don't know that, then they don't even know to think of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about... I was talking to a friend recently, and she was having this horrible chest pain, and it went on for days, and her friend said, you need to go to the hospital. She went to the hospital. They, you know, hooked her up to an EKG, and they did lab work and said, well, you're not having a heart attack. They said, well, you got something wrong with your stomach. Well, they don't know what, you know, and of course, what are they, Malox and stuff like that, and so she still has, you know, so now it's been like 3 days, and she's still having this stomach pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she doesn't live here, you know, here where I am.
Right. Unfortunately, nerves can get involved with pain. Ligaments can get involved with pain. When an organ becomes problematic, it's wrapped by ligaments. Ligaments tie the organ to the back wall of the abdomen. And ligaments have 10,000 pain receptors per square inch. So when you have a structural misalignment pattern going on and organs are pulled out of their normal position, it ignites the pain receptors in the ligaments, and that's what's barking at you. So adjusting the back changes the pull on the organ and quiets the pain. It also solves the problem that started the whole cascade to begin with.
Oh, that sounds good. Well, I recommended she find somebody where she lives. And, you know, there's probably, she lives in Portland, so there ought to be one on every mm-hmm. corner. She ought to have no trouble.
Yeah, the thing that I'd like people to learn most is that when you have a disease, you always have an underlying structural disintegrity. Cleaning up that disintegrity will help resolution of your disease far faster than just pharmaceutical remedy alone.
Can you elaborate some more? Maybe give an example.
Well, in the GERD we're talking about, when you take the Pepcid or the Prevacid or any of those type of things and you quiet the acid content, you change the metabolism in the body, that lends to more toxicity, which ignites ligaments, which causes the pain receptors in the ligaments to sound off. By adjusting the body and eliminating the cascade that caused the hiatal hernia and the acid problem to begin with, the whole cascade stops.
Mm-hmm. So you dial it back.
You just dial it back. You basically eliminate the problem until the next time you get into that physical configuration. And that's another level where people don't always understand. There are three things that in our culture that keep us out of alignment or get us out of alignment. You know, we all walk in gravity. We ride in vehicles that shake us down like boxes of cornflakes. We all walk on concrete. Concrete is the hardest substance in the world for the human body. Every time you take a heel strike on it, it sends a shock wave up through your body that, as that shock wave comes back down, literally compresses you. So we live in an environment that continually micrometer by micrometer by micrometer compresses us and buckles and tractions tissue, and that sets off pain receptors.
I'm Ann Goldin, and I'm with Dr. Sunny Kirsten. We'll be right back.
אין כאלה סרנים, מבר כסיר הריבה אין כאלה ג'דה רגע, פרלו ריזון ונצ'ה ניבלה דספלגדה, ניקרן אגרדיבה.
Well, we're back. You're listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and I'm with Sunny Kirsten, who is a chiropractor and a registered nurse who practices in Eugene. And your clinic is called the Fibromyalgia
Care Center of Oregon.
Thank you. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. We are taming fibromyalgia down here.
That is so cool.
Well, it's part of this structural integrity. The trigger points are nerve end organs that attach to fibers that come from the spine and the pelvis and the shoulder girdle and the cranium. And when that gets out of alignment, those are pulled and the trigger points are ignited. When you undo that spiral of structural disintegrity, those trigger points tend to fade away. And then you can treat the underlying muscular problems. They are resolvable.
Absolutely. I've seen it. It certainly is. Now, and you're writing a book about fibromyalgia, right?
I am. There are two books. The first one has just been finished and is in the editing phase. It's called What Your Doctor May Not Tell You About Back Pain, Including Fibromyalgia, and it's due out at the end of the year. And then the second one, which will be specifically about fibromyalgia, will be out approximately a year later.
That's so exciting. It's so neat to have know someone that has a discipline to actually write.
Well, it's taken me 7 years to get to this point. And the interesting thing about it is I wrote the book, but it didn't come out well, and I couldn't figure out how to fix it. So I finally printed it all out and decided to hand it down to the next editing brain. And that night I dreamed about what it needed to look like, which meant I had to rewrite it entirely.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
So I did. I sat down on the 1st of January, and I finished it on the 31st of March, and I'm very pleased with it. I think people will learn a lot from it.
That's great. So you think in about a year it'll be out?
I'm hoping in about 6-7 months
it out. That sounds great. Well, that's less than a year.
Right, and then the fibromyalgia edition will follow right behind, as it's a jump-off from this structural disintegrity pattern.
It sounds good. Well, you know, there's so much misinformation about what's wrong with us and what we can do about it. And the thing that I think is the worst is when people are told there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, that's why everyone needs a chiropractor on their medical team, because chiropractors see the body in a different form than medical doctors. Both are correct, but when you don't use the one avenue to support the resolution of the other, you only get partial benefit. So you really need to take care of the structural problems underlying your disease entity in order to get full resolution of the disease.
And now when you say the disease, you mean anything.
I basically mean anything that has an organ involvement or a circulation involvement. That is the end line of structural misalignment patterns. What we know, what we observe, and what we've watched through the 100 years that chiropractic has been active in the United States, the sooner you take care of the structural problem, the less acting out your body will do.
Well, absolutely. I think it's what we all see every day. Mm-hmm. All right. The next diagnosis I want to tackle is plantar fasciitis.
Oh, that's a great one.
Bottom of the foot pain. Okay, there's that itis again.
Yeah, and bunions are come along with that one as well.
Okay. Well, wait, let's take it apart. So plantar is like the bottom of the foot, and fascia is the connective tissue, and the itis, again, is the inflammation.
Inflammation so that comes from the irritation of the foot muscle.
And so let's see, what are people told to do? People are told to, they
well,
put them in.
Well, generally they're told there's nothing that can be done. They walk around with it.
Or they a lot of podiatrists put people in orthotics.
Mm-hmm. And that bone, there's a bone that drifts down toward the sole of the foot when the pelvis is out of alignment. And it's that downward drift of the bone that disturbs the action of the foot muscle, of the sole.
And so when they take that first step in the morning, it's like death on the feet.
Yes, yes. And it's a matter of adjusting the pelvis and adjusting the foot to resolve that problem.
I think it's a pretty quick fix in most cases.
It is. It's very easy, but once you let it go and that misplaced bone becomes ingrained in its misplacement, mm-hmm. then it's 5 times harder to resolve, and sometimes it cannot be resolved.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So the sooner you look into these problems chiropractically or structurally, the sooner you'll have resolution.
Hmm.
Another point about this is bunions. Bunions is another misconfiguration of the foot that happens after that bone drifts toward the sole of the foot.
Mm-hmm.
And it pulls up the joint. Believe it or not, that particular joint of a bunion affects the heart. So you can change action of the heart, or you can improve action of the heart by eliminating that pull on the foot. The body is all wired together, and nerves flow from one end to another, and when a nerve is tractioned, it sets off pain and it sets off dysfunction at each end.
It's hard to think that something at your foot, that some weird growth on your foot could be affecting your heart.
Yeah, this is called the dual pathway. And any time one end of a nerve is in trouble, it will sound off at its opposite end in some form. The body's all connected together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That is true. All right, well, let's go to the other end. From the foot, let's go to the head.
Yes.
People will come in to me and they'll say, I have migraines. And I'll say, well, what do you have? Well, I have this pain from my neck that goes up into my head, and I have this terrible headache. And that's not a migraine. I mean, it's a headache, and migraines are not just headaches. They're more complicated. They're a neurological thing, but
they are neurological things. Once again, this is that tractioning or the buckling of tissue. When your body is misaligned and a nerve is pulled on, it will sound off. It will bark at you. Some of these connect to the lining of the brain called the dura, mm-hmm. and any time that is pulled, a person will experience what we know as a headache.
Right, and those are neck, the origin is the neck, and
mm-hmm.
those are piece of cake to fix.
The ones that actually pull on the dura are a little more complicated, but we have a set of doctors within the state of Oregon called craniopaths that work incredible magic getting rid of the pull on the dura.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to correct the cranium so so that it stops, and it can literally stop in one adjustment.
Okay, craniopath. That cranio is a head, and a path is a disease. So
we're using their hands to correct the problem.
So we're talking about cranial manipulation with the hand.
We are. Sophisticated chiropractic care, extremely effective care for getting rid of sinus problems and headache problems. Too many times we're not made aware of the structural component of these diagnoses, and we're made to feel that our only hope is through pharmaceutical or surgical resolution, when in fact gentle manipulation of these areas can eliminate the problem in under 5 minutes.
Sounds good to me. Certainly every chiropractor sees this all the time. People come in with
so
a headache and they leave with a headache. What?
It's so exciting to watch it work.
It is. All right. Now let's talk about some problems that people have or some diagnoses that are named after people.
Ah, yeah.
Okay. So like leg calf Perthes disease, which
or
is a...
Or Osgood-Schlatter's.
Right. Well, let's see one at a time.
The point being that, once again, these are nutritional and structural problems. The leg calf Perthes is about ligamentous type of laxity. Ellos Danulers is another one that is a breakdown of the cartilage of the joint. We're back into the arthritic type things. So people, when they hear these names, they don't understand the structural or nutritional component that needs to be corrected to resolve the problem.
Okay, well, leg calf Perthes is a problem with degeneration of the hip. It's usually in starts in children. They have some kind of a trauma, they fall, something happens, and they have this painless limp.
Right, but the basic underlying situation is a nutritional deficiency to the ligaments and the cartilage.
Mm-hmm.
And people aren't made aware of this, so they don't look to correcting the structural or nutritional components. And that's what we want to teach people today. Look beyond that diagnosis. Realize that there are things that the medical entity doesn't do, but that doesn't make them wrong. It's in the chiropractic field. Both are correct, and both are often needed for a full resolution.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, definitely patients are served the best when they have a team looking
Absolutely.
Out for them. Yeah, I think a lot of things need a team, especially people that have been in car wrecks need a team.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, complicated problems, multifactorial.
The structural stuff that happens out of a whiplash is very necessary.
Mm-hmm. God, that's another term. It doesn't really a very good diagnosis.
No, a whiplash involves osseous components, bony components.
Mm-hmm.
They involve ligaments. Ligaments are like the big rubber bands that tie us all together. And when they get stretched, as happens during a whiplash, during that extreme flexion extension that happens, they don't resolve easily. They need good, solid nutrition and time in order to reestablish their integrity.
Mm-hmm. They are tough. So,
they can be.
Do you know how people get their name on a disease? Like, I want to have a name. No, I don't, but, you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
If one says, oh, I want to have a disease named after me, or they... Are they they're the ones that first describe it?
Basically, that's what happens. They're the ones that first writes it up,
uh-huh.
puts it down on paper, and acknowledges it as a separate entity from this problem versus that problem.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Well, we all have egos.
Right. Well, yeah. Do you know any... new stuff that's coming down?
Well, we're looking at a lot of enzymes coming out. Enzymes is a big area. There are enzymes that we know that clear the arterial tracts. That's known as natokinase. That's beginning to be looked at as an addition to the war chest around Coumadin and Plavix, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's an enzyme that comes from fermented tofu that was discovered in 1984 by a Japanese scientist who was eating his lunch around his research project, and he dropped a piece of cheese into something he was using, and it cleaned up the clot faster than the pharmaceutical thing he was investigating. So he started investigating the enzyme.
So we went to lunch.
Yeah. And found out they're incredible.
Oh, that is funny.
And now we have this wonderful component in a capsule form If you are already taking Coumadin, you want to be sure not to take the form that has vitamin K. But there are non-vitamin K forms available. Just be sure and read the label.
You're talking about natokinase.
I'm talking about natokinase. Uh-huh. It's a wonderful...
Is it available like in nutrition stores?
Yes, most nutrition stores now have it.
Okay.
And it's a wonderful addition to that whole picture.
Cool. Well, we have a caller that had the question about what can be done about herniated discs besides surgery.
Oh, gosh, there's an enormous amount that can be done about herniated discs.
Tons.
First of all, chiropractically, we know how to adjust and remove the herniation to pull that herniation back into the disc so it ceases to become a pressure against any major exiting nerves. And that's just good chiropractic care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other way is we know to refurbish those discs through nutrition. They can be refurbished. They can be refurbished using minerals and vitamins. Vitamin C becomes very important. Vitamin D becomes very important here. Vitamin D affects every single cell of the body. So when you do a nutritional approach, you want to do a broad approach, but including minerals and C's and B's and D's. And then what we found is that walking or rebounding helps pull all of that nutrient into the cartilage itself, into the disc.
What do you mean rebounding?
By bouncing on a rebounder.
Okay.
We have found that and you bounce on it, you don't jump, your feet never have to leave the mat. This is a gentle exercise.
So you could even like hold on to the wall
absolutely.
While you're doing it, yeah, for steadying yourself.
I get my 90-year-olds on this, and that's what they do. They put it in a doorway so they have the sills to hang on to.
Mm-hmm.
It's very effective.
And how long do you do it?
I get my patients on there from 5 to 10 minutes. NASA did a study on the rebounder, comparing it to jogging and to treadmilling. They found out that you get twice the exercise in half the time.
Hmm. Well, that certainly fits people's busy lifestyle.
Isn't that nice? And you don't have to get cold and wet. That's what I like about
cold
it.
Cold and wet. Wait a minute. When I'm running outside, I'm not cold and wet. I'm usually pretty warm.
Well, I'm not running outside. That's the
problem. Well, okay. In addition, you know, for herniated discs, there are other things. It can be effective with traction can be pretty effective, and there are other therapies, lasers, ultrasound. There's electrical
stim. Microcurrent is a big one that is very effective for herniated discs.
Right. So there's a ton of things besides surgery.
Oh, yes.
And really, a lot of times, surgery is not even effective.
Well, I would always encourage someone to do 3 weeks' worth of conservative care before they do surgery.
But conservative care isn't just taking drugs and sleeping on the couch.
Well, exactly. That's not what I consider conservative care at all.
It's sort of non-care.
But chiropractic, structural integrity, cleaning up the structural integrity, doing what you can to refurbish that disc. 3 weeks won't really be enough to heal it, but it will be enough to tell you whether it can be healed.
Absolutely. Yeah, 3 weeks is pretty much the standard window. Get through mm-hmm. there and then...
If you don't have improvement after 3 weeks, you may need to consider that surgical resolution.
Absolutely. But I feel like if people haven't done that, then they really haven't tried everything.
They really don't know that things can be resolved.
Right.
As well-meaning as surgeons are, once that cut is made, that cut is made.
It's permanent.
Yeah. And it that creates other residual problems down line.
Well, thank you very much, Sunny. It's been a lot of fun. My guest has been Sunny Kirsten. She's a chiropractic physician in Eugene. And look for her book about back pain coming out in the next 6 months. We'll talk soon.
Thank you very much, Anne. It's a pleasure to talk with you.